Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back into another hour, top of the second hour of Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. I'm Josh Phillips. That's Diesel over there on the board. Let's bring in Harold. Harold, welcome to the show. Thanks for holding on.
Thank you, Coach. Listen, I thought yesterday with the offense coordinator was bad enough. But listen, what you just laid a bombshell on me, you know, it just makes me sick. I could have went the rest of the days the good Lord's got left for me, not have heard that. And what gets me is that not a reflection on Ray Tanner's ability? Listen, right now I'm convinced Ray Tanner don't know diddly squat about football. I know he's a great baseball coach, but this thing, it's got to be a reflection. You know, it's just, you know, Mike Bobo, listen, he better hope that they win 9 or 10 games next year.
Harold, here's the thing, man. They interviewed him. He wanted the job.
That's what I'm talking about.
He wanted the job. He wanted to come to Columbia. But,
yes, and that's what
but
and
instead,
that shows you.
But instead, you know, Ray Tanner wanted to win the press conference.
There you go, and I'm in agreement with the coach. And by the way, the guy said you're in the wrong profession, Coach, and I have to agree with him. You're doing what you need to be doing right now. So if you ever give up. Listen, if you ever get tired, you know, want to coach when it changes next year at South Carolina, throw your hat in the ring, okay?
I appreciate that, Harold. Thank you so much.
You.
Yeah. So, sometimes, you know, look, sports is a passionate thing, and, you know, that's part of the deal, and we embrace that. Let's go to the phone lines and bring in Patrick. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be on. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. You know, Patrick, let me say this. You know, I wish everybody had the opportunity to do the things that I've done and continue to do in my life. The Lord has blessed me far more than I've ever deserved.
That's amazing to hear, and I hope he keeps blessing you. But what I want to talk about is, since a one seed hasn't won the college football playoff yet, do you think it's set up this year for that to happen? Because that's what I think.
Oh, Patrick, that's a great question. This year, I think it's more difficult than ever. I know Vegas has Oklahoma as a 9.5-point favorite. I haven't looked today to see if that line has moved any at all.
They have Oklahoma as the favorite over LSU?
No. They've got LSU as the favorite.
Okay.
Yeah, 9.5 points. Oklahoma's getting 9.5 is what I meant to say. But LSU is a 9.5-point favorite over Oklahoma, and I don't think that it's going to be that. I think LSU, this might be the toughest matchup for LSU. Is Oklahoma, because Oklahoma does things in their passing game. I mean, I saw receivers for Georgia that were running wide open all over the place. The thing that saved them was the fact that the defensive line got so much pressure on Fromm and flushed him out of the pocket and made him make throws on the run, which is not his strength, because he needs to throw from the pocket. Or at least from a half rollout, but LSU was able to get substantial pressure on him to quicken those throws. But Georgia had receivers running open, and you can't do that against Oklahoma because Jalen Hurts can throw. His strength is throwing the ball outside the pocket, and he's gotten better at throwing the ball in the pocket, which is a testament to Lincoln Riley and a reason why he's, you know, one of the four finalists for the Heisman Trophy. And when he actually went to Oklahoma, Patrick, I thought he would be the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman. And then, of course, Joe Burrow went on a record-setting pace this year with LSU. I think Joe Burrow is the most surprising player. I think everybody expected LSU to be really, really good. Obviously, I thought they were a national championship caliber team. But I'll be the first one to admit, I did not think Joe Burrow would be as good as he's become. And I understand that Chase Young is exceptionally talented and, you know, Justin Fields in his own right has done very well, and so is Jalen Hurts. But for Joe Burrow to play at the level that he's played against and make the plays that he made, there were times during that Georgia game where the protection broke down and he made really good athletes miss. And that was surprising. And that allowed him to extend some of those plays. And then when they didn't get pressure on him and he had 9 seconds to throw the ball, well, you can't ask a defensive backfield to cover for that long. I don't care who you are. Eventually, a receiver is going to get open. But I think the play of Joe Burrow has been, quite honestly, the surprise of college football. Most people expected Clemson to be good. Maybe not. There was questions about their defense. You know, I had thought that their defense would be better because they're more athletic and they can run. They can run at all three levels. They can run at the defensive line position, although they're a little bit undersized, but not enough to really be concerned about. Their linebackers can run. Their secondary has really come on. You know, the wild card, I would love to see that matchup. And look, Dave Aranda, the defensive coordinator for LSU, is going to have to call the game of his life against Lincoln Riley. Because when you're dealing with a true dual threat quarterback, Jalen Hurts can beat you from the pocket, and he can beat you outside the pocket, and he can beat you in the read zone game. So now you've got a lot to prepare for. Now you've got 3 weeks to get ready for him. And I would say this, out of all of the matchups, the three-week layoff benefits LSU more than it does anybody else to get ready for all of the variables and the offensive mastery that is Lincoln Riley. I mean, every time Oklahoma under Lincoln Riley has been in there, that they have torched really good defenses. They hung 45 on Georgia out at the Rose Bowl when Georgia won on that blocked field goal. They were down 30-something points to Alabama and then came back and scored 30, I believe 33 points in the second half alone to make that a game. So LSU has got their work cut out for them. And look, this business that when you get down, and I believe the committee had their easiest job in 6-7 years, however long it's been. They've had their easy, this was their easiest job to pick because of the teams behind in that fifth spot that lost. Utah losing, Baylor losing. It made their job easy. But this three-week layoff, LSU's going to need every bit of it. Because this offense for Oklahoma, and I know a lot of people on this side of the Mississippi probably don't watch Oklahoma a lot, you know, because college football is so regionalized, and especially in this area with all the drama that's gone on for good and ill, the good being Clemson, and them winning 28 games in a row. So obviously their fan base is focused on what they're doing, and rightfully so. Same thing with Ohio State. Same thing with South Carolina. But this is the first time outside of the Big 12 championship that the nation is going to get a chance to really take a look at Oklahoma. And Lincoln Riley's offense is as good as any I've seen in a long time from a modern day offense. Now, when you start talking about, you know, the triple option and stuff like that, and you're going back to Nebraska in the mid 90s and Georgia Tech in 1990 and on farther back, Oklahoma of the 80s running the wishbone, that's a different argument. But from a schematical standpoint, and look, Oklahoma's defense has gotten better. I wouldn't say they're elite, and that could potentially be their Achilles heel, because both these teams are going to score. And I think Ed Orgeron is going to have to the fascinating thing about this matchup between LSU and Oklahoma is Lincoln Riley and Oklahoma, they want to snap the ball about 100 times during the game. They want to get into the 90s, snapping the football. And I think LSU, they want to go tempo, but they want to be in the round the 70s to 80-ish realm. You know, one of the things that I thought Steve Emsminger and Joe Brady did, the offensive coordinator and the passing game coordinator for LSU, the thing that I thought that they did the best is when they ran tempo against Georgia. See, running tempo, when you hear people run tempo, the first thing everybody thinks about is going fast. Well, that's not really tempo. Tempo is going fast, slowing down, going fast, manipulating the clock, trying to get a matchup advantage, which LSU did from a formational standpoint. There were times where they went fast, caught Georgia in a substitutional situation, and they were able to get a back in the flat and move the chains. So, and then they slowed it down once Georgia substituted to more of a nickel dime package, and they ran the football, because now you're less with a heavier body because you've substituted more of a cover guy. So, you know, I think this chess match, and I wouldn't really call it a chess match. Football, you know, people call it chess match. I call it checkers. You know, you try to, when one guy does something, you try to leapfrog what he just did. And so it's not really chess. It's more checkers. And I'm going to be fascinated to watch these two staffs go against each other. And Ed Orgeron's going to have a decision to make, because he's not going to catch Oklahoma's defense off balance because they're used to that type of tempo and the changing and the curveballs that come with it. So Oklahoma already, from a built-in situation, already has that in their defense. See, Georgia, I think it was a little bit more difficult for Georgia with a week, less than a week's preparation, really, to get ready for that, because they don't see it during the regular season. Auburn, a little bit, but Auburn's more of, when Gus Malzahn starts to run a little tempo, it's more out of 21-22 personnel, fullbacks crossing, tight ends on backside, over routes, stuff like that. Texer gets in with us and says, wow, then that line's moved. The line is now 13 of LSU and Oklahoma. Yeah, see, I would be shocked if that happened. I'm going to pick LSU to win this game, but it's going to be closer than two touchdowns. I don't see either of these games. I think the Clemson game now is about a pick 'em. I think the spread on it is 1.5, two points in favor of the Tigers. So that's virtually a pick 'em. Texer gets in with us and says, do you think the Georgia-LSU game would have been any different had the receiver caught the pass on the opening play of the game for Georgia? Well, yeah, you're talking about a 50-yard flip in field position and momentum and crowd noise. You know, obviously Georgia was 70%, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium was 70% dog fans. So now you've got them in a frenzy. You're on the LSU 30. You've got a big play right out of the gate. And look, I applaud James Cooley, the offensive coordinator for Georgia. I love the fact that he attacked LSU. That he came right out of the gate and he tried to hit some balls deep, because I think Georgia knew you were going to have to score to beat LSU. As we all did. We talked about it on the show. And I applaud the fact that, and it wasn't just that play. There were many other opportunities where Fromm threw the ball down the field, but his receivers either dropped the ball. There was a critical third and 15 in the third quarter where the inside slot receiver for Georgia busted open on a dig and Fromm barely overthrew him. But that far hash throw is very difficult to make. It's difficult to make. It's not as difficult to make for the pros because of the hash. The hashes are a lot closer than they are in college football and high school football. But that is a very, very difficult throw to complete. But there's no question that LSU has some deficiencies in their back five to six. I wouldn't be surprised at times if Dave Aranda, which they don't like to do, because when you've got the athletes that LSU has on their defense, you feel like you can match up and go man virtually against anybody because that front four is going to get pressure. And against Georgia, they did. Against Oklahoma, I don't know if this front four can. Now, they might. But I think Oklahoma's offensive line is a lot better than Georgia's. I was surprised that Georgia had the leakage that they did, considering the size of Georgia's offensive line. I mean, those guys are enormous. But so was LSU's defensive front. And the other thing Dave Aranda likes to do is he likes to get Delpit, their All-American safety, down in the box on blitzes. The problem with that is Jalen Hurts, Fromm couldn't do this. See, several of those sacks that LSU got against Georgia that were well-timed, against Oklahoma and Jalen Hurts, it's probably a touchdown. Because no way is a safety going to make a play one-on-one with Jalen Hurts. And then you've got the rest of your coverage in man coverage running down the field with their back to the line of scrimmage. They can't see it once he passes the line of scrimmage. So I'm going to be fascinated to see if Jalen Hurts has 100 yards rushing in this game, Oklahoma's going to win. Because he's going to be a factor. You can't allow him to be a factor running and throwing the ball. You've got to take your poison and hold on with the other. And to me, if I'm Dave Aranda, I would rather he stood in the pocket then get outside the pocket. Because now you've got to commit a linebacker, and there's no way a linebacker or a safety is going to be able to handle Jalen Hurts out in space. That's why I do not agree with this 14-point line. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back in to Straight Up, at the bottom of the second hour here at ESPN Upstate. I am Josh Phillips. And let me go ahead and say I had somebody send me a tweet. Yes, I did misspoke. I apologize. I thought I had said 2015. Apparently, I did not. So we got that corrected. So everybody calm down. The point I'm trying to make is Lincoln Riley interviewed for the head coaching job at South Carolina, and Ray Tanner said no. That's the point. Texter, let me clean up some of these texters. Let's see here. Texer gets in with me and says, is it true Muschamp refused his buyout for Bobo to get hired? No, he did not refuse his buyout. He restructured the amount of money, and I've got to be careful with this. He restructured the amount of money that South Carolina would have to buy him out and said, I won't take that money if you will give it to Mike Bobo and Thomas Brown, the running back coach. So it's more of a semantics situation with that. He restructured the buyout, is the way that I would put it. Texer gets in and says, what defense has Oklahoma played this year that makes you believe their O-line is that good? When you look at how explosive this offense is and as many points that Oklahoma has put up throughout the year, you can't do that without a good offensive line. Yes, I understand that Oklahoma has CeeDee Lamb at wide receiver. They've got Jalen Hurts at quarterback. They've got some really explosive playmakers. But without those big guys up front, it doesn't matter. See, that's the difference between real football and 7-on-7. There's a lot of teams out there that win all these 7-on-7 tournaments and are phenomenal at 7-on-7. But then when real football kicks in, they get killed once you add the line of scrimmage. And Oklahoma, once again, has one of the most explosive offenses in all of college football. And you can't do that without an offensive line. Now, you also can't win the national championship without a pretty good defense. But at this stage of the game, defenses are really, I don't want to say that they're hamstrung, but when you start talking about the quality of the offenses that defensive coordinators are going to face in these playoffs, it's virtually impossible to completely stop him. That's why what Brent Venables has done during the college football playoff is miraculous. And if Clemson beats Ohio State, it's going to be because Brent Venables dialed up a game plan to stop Ohio State. Because Ohio State is another team that can beat you in multiple ways. They're very balanced. To me, Ohio State and Clemson are almost mirror images of each other. When you isolate and look at who Justin Fields is and who Trevor Lawrence and how these offenses get going, It's eerily similar. But both of these teams almost look like they're looking at a mirror in each other. Because on one hand, you've got Trevor Lawrence, and you've got Travis Etienne, and you got T. Higgins, and Amari Rodgers, and Justin Ross. And then on the other side, you've got Ohio State with Justin Fields and J.K. Dobbins at running back, Chase Young at defensive end. They're almost mirror images of each other in the way that they attack you. They want to be balanced. They want to get the running game going. They want to give you a two-headed monster so that you've got to pick your poison. And South Carolina took away what has been Clemson's best player, Travis Etienne. Travis, people forget, because of the game that Trevor Lawrence, and this is what makes Clemson so dangerous, is the game plan for the Gamecocks was, we're not going to let Travis Etienne beat us. And he didn't. He only had 53 yards rushing. The problem when you do that, though, is now you give up deep balls to T. Higgins and that loaded wide receiver group. So you can't stop it. You've just got to pick your poison on which route you want to go. And both of these defensive coordinators, Brent Venables for Clemson and Ohio State, that they've got to decide what they want to take away and what you want to live with. Because as a defensive coach, you can't defend it all. I know with, and I've gotten into so many arguments with so many defensive coaches that are friends of mine, you know, because then they want to go into pattern read matches, and which basically just turns into man-to-man, which came from Saban. So you really got to pick your poison with it. And I'm going to be fascinated to watch how the defensive coaches for Clemson and Ohio State try to attack each other. Because if you make a mistake, it's 88 and out the gate, and now you're striking up the band, and they're celebrating in the end zone. Some of these other bowl matchups. Oklahoma State at Texas A&M, -6 for the Aggies are favored in that game. Let me see some of these ACC schools and SEC schools. Louisville and Mississippi State in the Music City Bowl should be an interesting bowl to watch. Scott Satterfield is now the ACC Coach of the Year and rightfully earned. In his first year. What a job he's done in the resurgence of Louisville. And Mississippi State, the Vegas has got Louisville as a 3.5-point favorite. That will be a fun game to watch. Virginia Tech versus Kentucky in the Belk Bowl. Another one of the SEC-ACC matchups. You know, Kentucky basically has a wide receiver playing quarterback. Justin Fuente getting Virginia Tech back bowl eligible. Interesting to watch. Oh, Florida State. Florida State's better days are ahead with Mike Norvell, but not this time. They're facing Arizona State. Arizona State is a 5.5-point favorite. I expect Arizona State to probably win that game fairly easily. Let's see here. Utah versus Texas. This will be an interesting bowl game in the Alamo Bowl. Of course, they're playing. Texas should have an exceptional crowd advantage, being it's in the state of Texas. The thing about this game that I wonder is, will Utah have recovered from getting a taste of making the college football playoff to now they're in the Alamo Bowl? But the good thing for Utah is the spread of that game was so wide. If they had won on a, if Oregon had won on a last second field goal, they may have had a little bit more of an emotional letdown. But because of the side of it, it's easier to get by on. Listen, getting blown out is a lot better than losing close games. You get over those games a lot better than you do. I still haven't gotten over our loss when I was at Central Arkansas to Hawaii, a game in which we dominated the football game from hip to tip and we lost in the last 20 seconds on a slant pass, 25-21. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. Welcome back into Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. I am Josh Phillips. Diesel, your App State has some breaking news.
Yeah, they have promoted from within offensive line coach Sean Clark, going to be the next head coach in the Mountaineers.
So you got your wish. You were saying all last week you were hoping he was going to get the
job. No, I didn't say that at all. I never said that. I said,
well,
I hope
thought
they,
you wanted
no,
him.
I said, I hope they hire the right guy.
Ah.
There's a lot of fan base who just really wants a hometown guy who's never going to leave, because that's the culture that App has had for the last 30 years. Like I said, Jerry Moore for 20, Scott yep. Satterfield was around for about 20 in multiple capacities, and Eli Drinkwitz was gone in a year. So a lot of people want that guy who's going to stick around for a while. The question is, if Sean Clark is successful and is able to put together another 10 win season, do you think he's going to say no to a $4 million payday?
How old is Sean Clark? Do we know?
He looks to be in his late 40s, maybe around 50. So he's not a young guy, but he's still relatively young.
Well, I think you're on to something. Like if he's 47.
Yeah.
And he stays there 2 years and he wins 10 games a year. Yeah, he may leave. He's young enough that right. he could leave for a Power 5 job. And I wouldn't blame him for $4 million a year.
It's hard to say no to that.
It is.
I don't care where your loyalties lie. It's hard to say no to $4 or $5 million a year.
What was it? What was Drinkwitz making there?
I think his base salary was like $750,000, and he could have pushed it just south of $1 million if he had gone full bore on every possible bonus he could have gotten.
I got you.
So almost $1 million, including bonuses.
Yeah, which ain't bad, but it's obviously not four that he's making at Missouri.
Sure.
And listen, if he turns around Missouri, see, here's the way.
He'll get a job at a bigger school.
At a school where you can win the national championship. And see, that's sure. the way the coaching world works.
Yep.
Is you go into a place like Nick Saban went in and turned around Toledo. He was at Toledo 1 year. Then he jumped there and he went to the Cleveland Browns. With Belichick and Ozzie Newsome and that staff. Then he left there to go to Michigan State, which was mired in NCAA sanctions, probation. He turned that around. Nobody knew who he was when he got the LSU job. And then, as they say, the rest is history.
Well, the thing about Eli Drinkwitz is he's been just about everywhere as far as
right.
parts of the country. He,
yep.
he started out at Arkansas State. He spent some time at Auburn. He spent some time at Boise State, NC State, App State. Now he's in Missouri. So he's shown that he's willing to go just about anywhere.
Yep.
So if he's able to turn Missouri around and have them competitive in the East, which is, regardless, they still got to deal with Georgia and they still got to deal with Florida. If he can get them, you know, every year beating one or two of those guys, then they got a shot. He's got a shot at a – maybe in Michigan in a couple of years when they finally get tired of Harbaugh.
So you think a couple of years, though?
Yeah.
So let me ask you this.
Because I still haven't seen him recruit. Now, the one thing that kind of – and I'm not saying this is a good thing or a bad thing because I just really don't know. But any school in the South's recruiting base is typically Florida, Georgia, Alabama, right? There's a big chunk of the roster that was from those three states. Then all of a sudden, he says, nope, I'm going to recruit North Carolina and Virginia really hard. Mm. Why? Why? Don't know.
Well, the good thing is he's stepping into a great situation.
Yes, he is.
Now, he's going to have to replace because I don't have their roster in front of me. But obviously, App State's one of those places that can go in and recruit against some of the bigger schools. Because what you want to do when you're at the FCS level, like when I was at Central Arkansas, we would target kids that were looking at or that was being recruited by Rice and SMU and Colorado State, teams that are basically mid-majors, mid to lower tier Division I's, because we felt like they were better than what we could get, and they would help you win the national championship. And, you know, we were at a spot to where we could go after the JCs, which, you know, we recruited the Mississippi JCs a lot. And we had some kids come out of California as well, which to this day, I still think the California JCs are not mined enough. There's some really, really good players in those California JCs. Wofford got beat by one. Wofford was beating Kennesaw State in the first round of the playoffs and actually knocked the starting quarterback out. Well, the backup was a dual threat kid out of a California JC, and he had legitimate 4.5 speed, and they just couldn't. He was just a difference maker. And he's at Kennesaw State. So I think a lot more of those kids are available. I'm surprised more people doesn't. You know, Clemson's gotten some freshmen from high schools out of California and Texas and Kansas, Isaiah Simmons. But I'm surprised more teams like Mississippi State doesn't have to because of the JCs there, and neither does Ole Miss. But Texas has got a really good JC program. But, App State will always, in my opinion, they'll always have first choice.
Well, the biggest thing they're going to have to replace next year is going to be secondary. Secondary linebackers, and I think they're getting relatively thin on the lines. Outside of that, offensively, pretty stacked.
Now, they've rebuilt Kid Brewer Stadium, have they not? Isn't it like 40,000 now?
No, they in the process right now of tearing down the old field house and replacing it with a brand-new luxury end zone cap. They're going to do some regrading in one of the end zones and bring everything in tighter. But capacity is going to be somewhere in the range of 32,000.
Hey, that's not bad, especially
listed capacity.
But they pack it out. See, that's the difference. And that's what would make App State attractive to a Power 5 league. This is straight up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. Welcome back into the last segment of the second hour here at ESPN Upstate. I am Josh Phillips. Want to welcome you all into tonight as you're out there, hopefully on the way home. Most people get off at 5 o'clock. Be a little patient with each other as we continue with the traffic situation here. Have they actually said when that – I call it the little spaghetti junction. When is that thing supposed to be completed?
Never. It's never going to be done.
Are you serious?
It's never going to be done. You know they're always going to keep tweaking on it. Now, the real question is, when is I-85 through Spartanburg County going to be done? Because, I mean, at least here, they got to build bridges and they got to go over roads and all this and that. In Spartan, all they got to do up there is dig up some grass and put some pavement in. Yet that's taken them, like, what, 2 years? I've literally dated women and forgotten their names in the time it took. And I'm not kidding. I dated a girl who lived in Spartanburg, and I've already forgotten her name. I drove up there when they first started that, and you had to take the little business 85 loop over towards Spartanburg. You had to take that because Main 85 was closed. And I don't remember her name. That's how long it's been.
That's probably how long you're sitting in traffic. That's why y'all split up. Aren't you ever coming over? Oh, I'm trying. I'm stuck in traffic for a week. You know, did you see, are you much of a, you're probably not much of a Kanye West fan, are you?
I'm not, but here's another little piece of breaking news I just picked up. Maybe this is real, maybe this is not, but potential Willie Taggart going to FAU?
Yeah, I saw that.
Taking Lane Kiffin's gig?
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
I mean, he's not going to be out of a job long. I mean, he was a head coach at Oregon, head coach Western Kentucky,
yeah, but
head
he wasn't
coach
very
Florida
good.
State.
He wasn't very good.
Yeah, we beat him up pretty good when he was at Western Kentucky.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised because when we broke down their team when Willie Taggart was at Western Kentucky, they had some really good players. Had a really fast running back. Quarterback was really good. Offensive line was solid. They had a solid club. And we went up there and they paid us $300,000 and we beat them 31-17.
Oof.
Which that team that lost to Hawaii, that team had some dogs now. Them kids, they didn't care who you were. They thought they were supposed to beat you up and take your girlfriend home with them. They didn't give a rat. Those are teams that are fun to coach. You want to join the conversation, 844-477-3776, or hit us up on the Health Dare text line, text ESPN to 71307. As we keep looking across these bowls, the Outback Bowl, Auburn, a 7.5-point favorite over Minnesota. I would say Auburn's probably going to cover that spread. Auburn will be excited to be at that bowl game. I know all the Central Florida people or all the Auburn people said they weren't really excited about playing Central Florida. And what was it, the Peach Bowl? Wasn't that the bowl game they played them a couple of years ago?
Yeah,
when
that
they
was
lost
the New Year's Six, wasn't it?
Yeah, Auburn. Auburn's the only team that's got the luxury of losing to the national champion twice in the same year. I don't think any team can claim that.
You know, it used to drive Sturge nuts, that whole Central Florida debacle. And I get it. It was silly. But when you're in a situation where the kids who are at the big kids' table refuse to let you in, despite the fact that you've shown that you deserve to be in,
yep,
you have to do things like that. You have to make noise. You have to challenge them. It's the only way.
Yeah, and that team deserved to be in the college football playoff.
They did.
That was a travesty that they were left out. And hopefully they'll put Central Florida into a Power 5 league. They deserve. They should be in a Power 5 league. It's ridiculous, some of these schools that they let them off the hook like that. I mean, think about it. If you're Troy, and you're having to go to Tampa to face South Florida, which, let me say, congratulations to Jeff Scott getting that job at South Florida. Coach Scott, the Scott family has always been very kind to me when they didn't have to, especially his dad, Brad. Who I know better than I know Jeff. Jeff and I have played in some golf tournaments together and have talked football a lot. But Coach Scott, Brad Scott, really helped us when we were in a transitional period at North Greenville, with just giving advice on how to land back on your feet and, you know, they're just a solid family, man. They're just good football people. They're just good people, period. Are about the right things, family, loving the kids, not using the kids. I mean, they're just You'll never hear me say a bad word about the Scott family. They're as good as they come, and I'm happy to see that. You know, Jeff's come up the hard way. He was a head coach at Blythewood when they first started, won the state championship. Then he went on to PC, coached the receivers at PC for a while, and then he got on at Clemson as a graduate assistant on the defensive side of the ball. And then was able to stay on. Coach Sweeney kept him on and made him the wide receiver coach. And then he became the co-coordinator. Now he's the head coach. And, you know, Jeff's one of the good people in the coaching profession. And, you know, I like to see good guys advance. He'll be good for Tampa. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.